Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
About a month and a half ago, a small investor fund called Engine One shook up the investing and fossil fuel worlds, both at once.
This is a story that's been a long time in the making, like decades in the making.
ExxonMobil's investor meeting is May 26th. The company facing increasing activist pressure, of course, Engine One.
ExxonMobil has been targeted by activist shareholders for a long time. You know, shareholders who are pushing a climate agenda, and they didn't really get very far. But here comes this new investor, brand new group, $50 million holding in Exxon, which is pretty small.
Let's not forget, they own no stock. Let's call it that, 0.02%. I mean, nothing.
Back in May, ExxonMobil held an election to appoint the 12 members of its board. And the results of that election was the success of Engine One.
It basically did what all of the activist shareholders had been unable to do for decades. It swept in, and they were able to win three seats on the Exxon board.
They never expected an Engine One would be able to mount this kind of a campaign.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Carlos Prieto, and today,
a stinging defeat for the company, of course. Many want to call it a watershed moment for the ESG movement.
Now, how did they do it?
Politico's Lorraine Wellert on Engine One's win at Exxon and the green revolution in America's boardrooms. It's Monday, July 12th.
First of all, the groundwork had kind of been laid over the years, and their timing was very, very good. This issue of fossil fuels, you know, and corporate responsibility have all like just exploded in the last couple of years. Now, why did they succeed? It wasn't just timing. It wasn't just you know, that the groundwork had kind of been laid a little bit, but also for the first time ever, Vanguard, State Street, BlackRock, the three biggest shareholders at Exxon, all voted in some form with Engine Number One. And of course, those votes were enough to push these new people onto Exxon's board.
What was Engine One's motivation? Are they like a Wall Street version of the Sunrise Movement? Are they like environment-minded hedge fund? How should we view them?
I think you got it. They're kind of an environmentally-minded hedge fund. But think about it. 10 years ago, if you had said environmentally-minded hedge fund, people might have thought, oh, you know, a crunchy granola group. It's not the way it is anymore. Climate is big money. So it becomes an issue of ExxonMobil's bottom line. And so, yes, this is an environmentally minded hedge fund, but in the sense that, you know, they were worried about Exxon's profits.
Right. So this comes more from the side of the part of the private sector that acknowledges that climate change and the environment are financial concerns for their bottom lines, more so than people who are necessarily concerned by the oceans or the forests.
That's correct. This is about money.
So what we saw in ExxonMobil, where, you know, shareholders steered the course of the company on an issue despite what the current executives wanted, is that something that we're seeing across the board in American companies, particularly on climate and the environment?
For sure. So this year we had over 400 resolutions on environmental, social, and sustainability issues. Okay. These things usually never go anywhere. They just don't have the, you know, critical mass of votes. But this year, we're starting to see some wins by the shareholders. So in May, Chevron shareholders asked the company to cut Scope 3 emissions, which are the emissions that are generated by the use of its products like gasoline. Norfolk Southern Corp, the big railroad, 76% of its shareholders said it wanted the company to disclose where it spends its political money. So shareholders starting to win, and it's, you know, it's because investors are starting to see that these environmental and social issues actually do affect a company's profits.
Now that we're seeing change happen, particularly, for example, in Exxon, where this group got the three seats, what kind of change are they able to put forward, you know, once you get a seat at the table?
So in the case of Exxon, there's 12 members of the board. Now, obviously, they don't control the board. There's three of them. But they'll be able to pound the desk and object to things that the company is doing, you know, they're going to bring a voice to the process over there. So it's not like it's going to be like an overnight thing. And it's not like these people are against Exxon, right? They're for Exxon. They want Exxon to make money. People who think that suddenly Exxon's going to stop drilling now and start just putting all its money in solar, like, no, no. This is a long, slow change. It's not driven by ideology.
Also,
it's what the EU calls a carmaker cartel.
Late last week, the European Commission fined two car giants $1 billion total in a collusion scheme to slow the technology development of auto emissions.
For over 5 years, the car manufacturers deliberately avoided to compete on cleaning better than what was required by EU emission standards.
On Thursday, Volkswagen Group and BMW were penalized for breaching antitrust rules by agreeing not to compete on developing nitrogen oxide cleaning. The charges are related to a set of meetings between 2009 and 2014. According to the European Commission, Volkswagen, BMW, Daimler, Porsche, and Audi agreed not to use technology they already possessed that would have lowered harmful emissions. Porsche and Audi were punished as part of the Volkswagen Group. And in the announcement last week, Daimler, which owns Mercedes-Benz, was the only company to avoid fines because it revealed the existence of the cartel. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. I'm Carlos Prieto, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.